Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Bill Tobin making the update. Do you know what Bill Tobin, maybe somebody would correct me on this, but do you know what his, in my mind anyway, place in NFL draft history is?
Isn't he the guy yelling at Mel Kiper?
He is the guy yelling about Mel Kiper.
About Mel Kiper.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Kiper tore their draft up. I'm not sure they know how the draft works.
Right. They drafted... Trey Alberts?
That's a name. Sure.
Maybe. Yeah.
Trev Alberts.
Maybe it was someone else. There was a moment, and Kiper's line was something like, once again, the Colts have proven that they have no idea what they're doing, or something like that.
How the draft works. They've shown they don't know how the draft works.
Absolutely brilliant rant. And then later, ESPN, I mean, this was... back in the day when the draft was like Tuesday morning at 11, when, you know, we'd call in sick or pretend to be sick and stay home so we could watch it. And then they get the one-on-one with Bill Tobin and like, who is Mel Kiper? What does he know? And it was an absolutely momentous occurrence in all of this, in the history of the NFL.
And probably huge for Mel Kiper's career.
Couldn't have been any better for Mel Kiper, who is still, I'm told, is still out there mocking drafts.
Yeah.
Is he the preeminent name still, or is Trapasso above him? Like, what? Where isn't Mel Kiper? He's still in the game.
He's the senior. He's the OG.
He is the OG. He is to blame for all of this, or to... credit for all of this. Like, he is the guy.
He's still going. I used to order his, he had it looked like a workbook that you would get in school, and you could order it. I don't remember it getting comped or anything, because we'd be lucky enough to get him on the show, like, when back in the early days when I was on at night, we'd get him on once a year leading up to the draft, and I'd have his book, and Joel Buschbaum also put out a book with Pro Football Weekly. And I would get to talk to Joel once a year or so, too. He was a little easier to get than Mel Kiper because he wasn't affiliated with ESPN. But he also was a little more abrasive. One time our phones weren't working, and I apologized when I got him. Like, we reconnected with him. Brad will tell you about this. Brad Ryder was my producer at the time, I think. Or maybe it was Steve Cishon. Anyway, we lose the connection. We get him back. And I say, Joel, I'm really sorry about the mix-up. He says, I can't talk to a dial tone. I'm like, this is going great.
How old was this guy? That seems pretty crusty.
He was crusty. I don't know how old he was at the time. I think he's passed away since then. It's a long time ago now. But, anyway. But Kiper, like,
How old do you think Kiper is?
75.
Less. Come on. Way less.
I'm sticking with 75.
63.
Damn it.
I just looked.
I just wanted him to be way older.
I would have guessed less than 75, but higher than 63. 63. So that's like He's 30 or something around that
draft.
Maybe younger.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Right.
So good. Oh, you know what? Wikipedia says he has been widely credited for establishing mock drafting and is regarded as one of the first draftniks alongside Joel Buschbaum, if that's how you say it.
I think that
and he has a page, and he has been dead for more than 20 years.
Okay. Ooh,
but he wasn't
I didn't know it was 20
that
years.
Much younger or older than Kiper, actually. Yeah. 2002.
I feel like, with just barely any degrees of separation, that makes me a draft OG. I'm talking to Joel Buschbaum and Mel Kiper every year when they first started out. I feel good about that.
I know the name, but I never had a conversation with Joel
Buschbaum.
Buschbaum.
Yep.
I believe that it's real. I do remember the name.
Yeah. He had his book, like Mel's was the size of I don't know what is that 8x10 whatever it was, you know, a standard size like a high school folder size. Buschbaum's book was smaller, thicker. Just you know, it was fun to have, you know, our lads at the time. They also I would get a catalog from them.
Our lads though, did they have a guy?
They had a few guys, and I don't remember the name of like the guy. There was a they didn't have like a Mel Kiper. But there were various people who'd worked there, and then there was like one that sort of felt like he was the Aaron Schatz of our lads, I guess.
Not Hub.
No, not
Hub. He was never with them?
No. He's
Pro Football Weekly?
Pro Football Weekly, so Buschbaum, like, you know, worked under that umbrella.
Hub Arkush.
Yeah.
What about Balzer?
Balzer, I also knew from I think, weekly columns in Pro Football Weekly.
But maybe
the
draft or no?
Not so much the draft. I don't recall that being his corner of the football world.
McShay, who's on the Rushmore of the NFL draft behemoth?
If I could think of a name for me of the person I'm thinking of from our lads, I would say Kiper, Buschbaum, whoever that dude is that I can't think of. It's tough to make the case that he belongs on Mount Rushmore. I can't even remember his name. And then I don't know who comes
Dr. Z. So Dr. Z, Paul Zimmerman, was on the ESPN panel. The number one draft in my memory is 1983. Not because I'm 11, remember everything about that broadcast from watching it. I think I remember going out to the end of the driveway to get the school bus, and maybe my mother coming outdoors to say the Bills had drafted Tony Hunter. I'm not sure that lines up. That's really early in the morning.
Right.
But so I might not be right about that. But so I don't remember like
maybe she told you that when you were coming in from the bus after school. Is that possible?
Maybe, but me, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But you know, I always want to be like, I'm not sure I remember this the way I want to say that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain, you know, you get older and things move around. But the 30 for 30 on the 83 draft is my, by far, favorite 30 for 30. It's the only one I ever think of watching back. I love that documentary. Tom Selleck is the narrator, Marvin Demoff is the agent. He's got it. It's kind of funny I mentioned this because, as I told you earlier, like an hour ago, I found an old notebook of mine picking up in my basement last night of the 04 season. That's where I got to this tweet, by the way, at Shope Talk. You can see what that is. I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, the 83 draft from the documentary is the one that's the clearest of my mind. And Zimmerman is on he's at the table with Berman. And
he's like the least presentable TV person I've ever seen.
Right.
And I don't say that to make fun of the guy. He is just not like, all right, you want me to be here? All right. He might as well have a cigar in his mouth. He's just like.
I just rewatched that 30 for 30.
I was thinking as Mike brought it up, I'm like, who was tweeting about this? And it's you.
Just watched it. Every time he goes on to like talk, he's kind of like staring down at the desk. Like he doesn't really want to be on TV. You can tell this is new to him.
Yeah.
And he also was like upset the entire time.
I mean,
he was entertaining though for that reason.
In a world where literally everyone has a camera set up at home and the same background every person looks the same. Everybody's on TV now. Wouldn't you kill for like a Paul Zimmerman to not even have any clue?
Right.
Somebody just like, I do not care about any of this.
That's why I said that he maybe is one of the least presentable people I've ever seen on TV.
Bring him back.
And I mean it as a, like, I'm glad for him. I'm glad to have the memory because now everything, you don't get that gig unless you're super polished and smooth. And like, he just was nuts and bolts and, you know, covered the league and was highly respected. And so he was there, even though he was, you know, just sitting there in like a shirt with stains on it, probably.
Probably. I mean, ESPN is 4 years old
right.
at that point. So everybody's... I remember George Grand from that movie. There's someone else at the... Oh, Balzer is the other guy. It's Berman and Zimmerman and Howard Balzer.
Okay.
That's who are sitting there
right.
the 83 draft and the Elway drama.
That's why you have draft with him there. Okay. Well, you mentioned him to me as someone who is...
Yeah. They're all sitting there speculating about whatever... Like, do the Raiders want Elway? It's all in that great 30 for 30. So, I don't know. McShay, he may be, because he's still relevant, right?
Sure.
We don't ever talk to him. I used to talk to him every week when I was working at ESPN. It was Kuiper was once in a while, but McShay was kind of new. He had a came from a different website, and this would be like late Saturday, Sunday nights, and he was on, like, he was out there selling. Like, he would come on all the, we talked every week. But this is still, like, 20 years after that,
mm-hmm.
and 10 years after Bill Tobin maybe coming on, and
right.
like, who is Mel Kiper? Anyway, we have them to thank for all the, you know, speculation, you know, all the everything, including this big board from Jeremy, his appearance yesterday on the Facebook Live. He was talking about tweeting about the plastic and maybe the fumes. All of that plastic, half of it made it to the garbage can. The rest of it is just on the floor in here. I moved some of it into the garbage. There was one piece over here. There's four pieces on the floor over here. Cool that he left it. I mean, the board.
The board, yeah.
At least. Not just the garbage. But, you know, here's all the... We got the list. This is... What did he tell us? This was their, like, this was their official list. It's 13 names, and it's cool. Devontae Walker did quite well. That was like the throw-in name yesterday in our conversation. Yeah. Odunze over Neighbors, Thomas Mitchell, Leggett, McConkey, Worthy, Coleman, Walker, Pearsall, Wilson, Baker. Good to see Baker repped on this because I think we've sort of lost track of him on this show talking about these receivers. We haven't talked about Javon Baker since like the very beginning. Of all of this, maybe a month ago, mm-hmm. more than a month ago, was the last Javon Baker discussion. Though this is the big board. We got it right here in the room.
Baker, I feel like, maybe especially for me since the Diggs trade, because I know it's still possible, and I'm sure we will talk a lot between now and Thursday when it actually takes place, the first round of the draft, whether the Bills will do something else at 28. Instead of receiver, and if they don't, then it's Javon Baker season. Like if he can make it to 60, that would be, you know, that's you better get him if you don't get someone at 28. But the fact that they traded Diggs has me thinking like there's no way they're not moving heaven and earth to find a receiver on day one. So I'm not thinking about Javon Baker as much. If they had a third rounder, I might be a little more. But anyway,
it's all still up in the air. Will there be a trade up? You know, like right there, you mention it, heaven and earth. What will be the general reaction? Not even like I've brought this up, like I've slid this in a couple times, like Bills fans' reaction to whatever it is they do, but just anybody's. It'll make sense if the Bills trade next year's number one pick, for example, to move up to what would that, what's the worst case scenario? Like the player. The pick, if they were to do that, does that get them to 15? Should they be able to do better than that if they were just like to throw? They're out there shopping their 2025 number one. They have pick 28. Does that get them to 15? Does that do better than that? What else? What does it do?
Boy, I probably, but if I'm dealing next year's one, I sort of got loose on this the other day, and it ended up, I think, coming out as though, like, don't draft Brian Thomas Jr. And, like, I don't want to like peg that on that guy because, you know, I don't know him from Keon Coleman or any of these other guys. Like, ultimately, like, who's going to be the good player? I do not like the idea of giving up next year's one to only go to 15. Like, if I'm giving up next year's one, I'm going to give up more than that. Like, if I'm in the mood to spend that much, then don't go halfway. Like, go give me the, you know, one and two and one and four, or one and four and one and two, or whatever it takes to get up to the Bears at nine, and go Odunze. Trading next year's one so I can move up, you know, however many spots it takes, Indianapolis at 15. I don't know. I know it's way less assets. I just don't. It feels like a half measure to me.
I think you can do that, say, 16, Seattle, with a reputation much more for moving down, whereas the Colts, you know, the Colts sound, this is me anyway, like just the Chris Ballard line from Evan Silva, they could use a receiver, like the best athletic prospect in the draft. Maybe just guessing. Let's take the Seahawks at 16. What gets you from 28 to 16? Next year's 2 seconds.
Okay.
Or one of those and your second next week for their third or something like that.
Okay.
You know?
That's more palatable to me. I still would rank it. If I'm ranking outcomes, staying put, drafting a player who's great, duh. Like, that's we'd all prefer that. I would anyway. I don't need to trade down. Going all the way, like I said, up to the top 10, third place to me is this. It you know, I'm not gonna throw a fit. Like, fine, but boy, I would really want to do it without giving up next year's one. So I know, 2 twos, fine. If there's a way to make that work, get into the middle, the Brian Thomas Jr. neighborhood, as I've been referring to it for weeks here. I would really balk at paying my next year's one for that.
I think most of these mock drafts, he's the only receiver in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's why.
So
I
have to either need him or not bother.
Right.
You can go above that. I just think, and this I think can be shot down. But I don't want to trade up for anybody, so come at me. I don't know. Like, I think this is, they've traded Diggs. Of all players, Stephon Diggs. They've traded Stephon Diggs for a 25 pick, eaten the dead cap money. They've cut Poyer, probably Hyde, Trey White. This is the year where the Bills' act, if you will, has been, okay, this is the medicine mm-hmm. you have to take. Mm-hmm. We've been really good. We've taken our shots, Von Miller, you know, the different things. But this is the year to sort of take the medicine. I just don't think it lines up right to have that reality, because that's already established, mm-hmm. and then make this move.
Mortgage futures on top of that.
And plus you have the luxury of the wide receiver depth and talent in this class. So I'm never trading up. This is especially the year I'm not doing it.
The only thing that I would say that for me buffers, because I know before they traded Diggs, when we would talk about a big trade up, and I'd be like, they need to replenish. They need a lot of these picks, like maybe give away a few here or there to move up a couple spots. But trading bulk and quality probably isn't called for. Then the hole opens up for Diggs. And also, along with the hole comes next year, you're not as strapped financially. Like you are taking medicine in that way, and that frees me up a little bit more, I think. It decreases the urgency, because I think the Bills should be able to shop not for like big name, huge, like, you know, billboard type contracts for top tier free agents, but if they need to find depth and a starter here or there in free agency next year, I think they'll have more flexibility to do that because of the hole they created by moving on Diggs and eating all the money in 1 year. So that lessens how much I feel I need to hang on to all of those assets in the draft, because I think I can replenish another way next year because of the financial freedom I bought by making the Diggs move.
If they don't trade up, This is like back to sort of Jeremy yesterday on our Facebook live show. Just pick one. They've already, I don't remember exactly how he put it, but this is the price they have to pay for other moves they've made in recent years. You've put this off. Just take the best one at 28. Okay. Say they do that. Are they drafting another? Would you bet on them drafting another?
Yes.
Like by round 5? 2, 4, 5. They don't have a third. They could get one.
I don't know that I want to put a round. I would just expect them to pick another one on Saturday.
They have so many picks on Saturday, though, that it doesn't have to be that meaningful.
Well, sure. But I think they'll get another guy to throw in the mix. But, you know, how highly thought of, you know, is it? Because we'll think differently about the guy if he's a fourth round pick versus a seventh, of course, I think, mostly. So I think they'll take a flyer somewhere. I think they'll come out of this with more than one guy.
But you'd admit, I mean, somebody picked in the fourth round, you'd have a different set of expectations for. If they picked,
sure.
I know they have multiple picks, but if they picked, somebody on this board is going to Saturday. So Devontae Walker in the fourth, I would love that. But I'd love it less if they'd already picked Mitchell. You know, like that's somebody who should matter. More than Justin Shorter, like that's somebody that should really matter if they're picking them in the fourth round. If it's the seventh round, the odds are that the guy wouldn't even make the roster. So 4 is different from 7.
Mm-hmm.
But 7 is enough for, like, you're good because they'll have picked 2.
I'd rather they pick another one earlier, like you're suggesting. But I just think, I don't want to say for sure. I think if they pick, especially if they go big and go up, that to me decreases the likelihood, because they'll have fewer picks to choose guys going into Friday and Saturday. If they go big for like a Dunze, say, then I think you're looking at the back end of the draft for a second guy if it comes. If they just stay put, then yeah, I think I might like the idea, because to me, the sure thing factor with the top 10 pick decreases the number of darts I need to keep throwing. Like, I think I've got my guy, and I don't know, I probably want another one at some point. But if I wait till 28, and it's more of a, well, we don't know, we'll wait and see. I know they won't talk about him that way, but, you know, unfinished, he's got stuff to learn, ramp up period, all this stuff. Then, yeah, I think the earlier the better on Saturday. Get me another guy, because I need someone, or maybe together these two guys can, like, just, you know, fill the void.
I'd like this more if they traded down, because a lot of the draft conversation is about expectations and focus and, you know, sort of spotlighting your number one pick. And, you know, you get what you get from guys picked on Saturday. Like A.D. Mitchell gets picked on Thursday night. Oh, here's the new hero. Here's the new Diggs. And then they pick Walker on Saturday. Like, oh, great, thanks. You know, we'll have a lineup of people on the show over the course of the offseason telling us Walker's even better. And the Bills, that gets complicated for a team, because Mitchell's the one where they need him to sort of, you know, hit. And, well, we got somebody better from the same draft. Well, why did you pick him in the first round? And all these other, this other slew of questions. If I were Bean, I'd want to avoid that. Like, I'd pick one at the end, maybe, but I'd want to avoid all this speculation that actually the guy you got that's actually better was 3 rounds later or something like that. But all hypothetical. Sal Capaccio joins us next. Travis Yost today as well to recap the Sabre season, talk the coaching vacancy, and the playoffs. Why not, right? We should talk about that. Even though the Sabres are not in them, we should talk about that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Sal next here on WGR.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.